This is the 25th of our series of studies in the book of Daniel and the final treatment of texts in Daniel. In the last several studies, we have departed from a careful analysis of the verses of chapters 10, 11, and 12. Rather, have considered two topics, particularly number one, the role of angels in Scripture and in the book of Daniel, where they are so prominent. And then secondly, the topic that we will be finishing today in our fourth session on this topic, the major resurrections and judgments in the Bible. You'll recall, if you've been with us in this series, that we identified four major resurrection points throughout Scripture, with some, could we call them outliers, such as Enoch and Elijah and the thief on the cross that we don't have enough information about. We've identified also four major judgment points, and then nine different groups of people, and attempted to associate these groups with the resurrections and the points of judgment, and then also the points when they will receive new bodies that they will need for eternity. If you have your notes, we are at the bottom of page 8, top of page 9. We have mentioned the sheep and goats parable that our Lord Jesus Christ uttered. We have not looked at that in detail, but we will do that now. Again, I mentioned pages 8 and 9. It should be page 8 and topic number 8. Topic number 8. The parable of the sheep and goats teaches a judgment for living believers and unbelievers. This is interesting in that it is a judgment without resurrection associated with it. We have also a resurrection without judgment. This is a judgment without resurrection because the subjects here are alive. We'll read the text in just a moment, but notice a few things to keep in mind as we read it. This occurs before the kingdom, since in context, it's part of preparation for the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And the subjects are everyone from the nations. Jesus gathers the nations. There's no resurrection. The people who are involved in the judgment here are all alive at the time, living people gathered together. Now, while the basis of judging for both groups is what they did during their lifetimes, it's clear that the separation is on the basis of election. Since verse 23, we'll see in a moment, says that those judged to be righteous were given an inheritance before creation. That must be a reference to their election. And the two outcomes of this sheep and goats parable are, number one, entrance into the kingdom for the righteous, and a going way to eternal punishment. Again, if you have your notes, if you turn to the next page, here is the full text of this. And it reads like this: When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Son of Man, Jesus referring to himself here in Matthew 25. So verse 33 of Matthew 25, he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Right being a place of favor. You recall that according to Psalm 110, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's a place of favor, goats on his left, disfavor. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, again, this is pre-kingdom territory that we're in. The king comes in his glory, Son of Man comes in his glory, verse 34, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. So some, as a result of this judgment, will enter the kingdom. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. So living people gathered from the nations by the Lord Jesus Christ, and for some, the outcome will be entrance into the kingdom. And if you look down at verse 46, we'll skip the intervening text. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, those who are being judged negatively, but the righteous to eternal life. So some will enter the kingdom and eternal life, according to this parable, and the others will go to eternal punishment. So again, the people who are the subjects of this judgment, no resurrection, so they are alive at the time, two groups, Jews and Gentiles, and they are divided into those who go into eternal punishment and those who go to eternal life / the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, apparently this occurs, from everything I can see in Scripture, at essentially the same time as Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Remember that amillennialists collapse these four judgment points and four resurrection points, but there seems to be a difference between among all of them. There are differences. And here in Daniel chapter 12, here in Matthew 25, the question is this the same as Daniel chapter 12? And verse 2, I conclude that it is not, which brings the conclusion that these are two sets of, first one, resurrection and judgment, Daniel 12:2, the second one, judgment only, that must occur at approximately the same time. Beyond that, I can't tell from Scripture. So look at the differences and the similarities between Daniel 12:2 and Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. Both occur just before or at the beginning of the kingdom. So they are the same. They're similar in that way. In both the sheep and goats and Daniel 12, where multitudes from the dust of the earth awake, clearly there's resurrection and there is also judgment there. In both of them, the two directions of judgment are life and death. Both involve life and death as the outcome on the negative side. So there are two differences, two similarities. Now the differences, there are at least two differences between Daniel 12 and Matthew 25. Daniel 12 includes resurrection to get to judgment, though many who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. That's resurrection. While the sheep and goats does seem to have only living people, Jesus gathers together the nations. All the nations, verse 32, will be gathered together before him. No mention of resurrection. If there is, it's not stated in this passage. So this makes Daniel 12 different from Matthew 25. So the subjects of judgment are different. Some are alive, still alive in the sheep and goats, and some are raised to get to judgment. And then finally, another difference between Daniel 12:2 and Matthew 25 is that in context, Daniel 12 would seem to be for Jews only, while the sheep and goats targets the quote-unquote nations. It would be hard to imagine that the sheep and goats is for Jews only when the text says specifically, all the nations will be gathered before him. Does that exclude Jewish people? It might. I don't know. There's not enough scripture, I think, to tell us, not enough information. If you'd like, I've included an article that I found online that is a good article on the sheep and goats parable. It's in your appendix. Our 11th observation point. Everyone who ever lives will need a body suited for eternal living, whether in the presence of God or living in eternal punishment. Now here's 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. And then the text goes on to say, we will all be changed, and I'll read it to you. Verse 51 of 1 Corinthians 15. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. I think that's a reference to the same event as 1 Thessalonians 4. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and second time the text tells us this, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. The changing must refer to receiving a new body. And if you stop and think about it, the unsaved who are judged, sent to eternal punishment, they cannot die, so they must have a body that's different from the one that they had during this life, a body suited for eternal punishment. Terrible thing to think about, but it must be true. So the question arises, when then do people in the different groups get their new bodies? It would appear from the information that we have or can deduce from Scripture that people get new bodies when they are resurrected, no matter who they are. So if a saved person is resurrected, a person during this age, a Christian living during the church age, member of the body of Christ, Jesus comes, takes everyone to be with him, all believers to be with himself at the rapture, and at that time, we would all get new bodies. That's just an example. So let's go through the nine groups and see if we can figure out what resurrection these people would be associated with to get their new bodies suitable for eternity. Start first with, again, Gentiles saved before Pentecost, such as Abel and Noah and Melchizedek. Anyone saved up to the time of Abraham, that would be Jews and non-Jews. There are no Jews before Abraham, so it would be only Gentiles. So apparently, if they are not to enjoy the kingdom, they would be resurrected at the great white throne judgment and receive new bodies at that time. And then, a little asterisk here, if there are, we spoke in the past studies about the question of whether or not believers will be resurrected and judged at the great white throne judgment. The books containing the names of the elect, or the book, is present. So I conclude that yes, there are some believers at the great white throne judgment, which once again is in a sense a catch-all judgment, both for believers and unbelievers who have not been judged up to that time. So, Gentiles saved before Pentecost, if the Great White Throne Judgment includes believers, I think it does, then they would get new bodies at that time. How about Abraham and other Jews saved up till Pentecost, which marked the start of the church age? Abraham and his descendants. This group would be raised at the beginning of the kingdom to enjoy it and probably would receive new bodies then, and that would apparently be at Daniel chapter 12, end of the 70th week, beginning of the kingdom. So he's one of those who would be in the dust of the earth and raised for blessing in the kingdom. Third group, which are Jews and Gentiles saved during the church age. It's all Christians. This is quite clear. We'll receive new bodies at the rapture, and that is really strongly implied or even taught in 1 Corinthians 15, which we read a moment ago. Receive new bodies. We are changed. Text says changed twice. And 1 John chapter 3, we're going to be like Christ when we see him. Fourth group, Jews and Gentiles saved during the 70th week. But they don't die during the 70th week, and so are still alive at the second coming of Christ. They are saved and apparently go straight into the kingdom. They don't die, but then they die during the kingdom. If there is death in the kingdom, and it appears that there is, we talked about this before, they die during the kingdom, when would they receive new bodies? When would they be resurrected and judged? They lived during the kingdom, they're believers, but they've died during the kingdom, and when would they be resurrected, and when would they receive new bodies, and when would they be judged? Well, the only resurrection and new body point and judgment point after the kingdom that would work for these people would be the great white throne judgment. Again, that fits and is a kind of argument, roundabout, but an argument for believers being at the great white throne, judged at the great white throne judgment. And some people think that such people would get new bodies when they die during the kingdom, get them right away. But this would mean that they would not face any kind of judgment event. So I don't think this idea is right. I am really inferring from the connection of judgments with resurrections that everyone has to be judged in some way. And for most, it appears there's indication that that will be at a resurrection point. Although, again, we have the outliers, if we can reverentially use that term, such as Enoch and Elijah and the thief on the cross. They go directly to be with God. Do they escape any kind of evaluation? Scripture doesn't tell us. Our fifth group, Jews and Gentiles saved and then martyred during the 70th week. These people are the subjects of the quote-unquote first resurrection in Revelation 20, and yet there is no mention of their getting a new body or being judged. So the judgment's missing for them. And the new body is missing for them. Presumably, we would conclude that if they are part of those who return with the Lord Jesus Christ, riding in with him, that they would have gotten new bodies, obviously prior to that point, and would have been evaluated at that time, getting rewards for being martyrs standing for Christ during the 70th week. And our sixth group, Jews and Gentiles who were saved during the 70th week of Daniel, but died natural deaths during that time, died before Jesus' second coming. If they're Jewish believers, would they be raised at the end of the 70th week in the Daniel 12 resurrection? I think so. But we don't have information about the Gentiles, that it won't, they couldn't be part of the sheep and goats judgment because they've died. Sheep and goats is living people gathered together. So not enough information on that. Our seventh group, Jews and Gentiles saved during the kingdom, then they die during the kingdom. Well, here we have our catch-all great white throne judgment for resurrection and new body and judgment at the great white throne judgment. Their judgment would be reward as their names are found in the book of life. And then the eighth group, Jews and Gentiles saved during the kingdom, but they're still alive at the end. Jesus judges at the great white throne judgment. This group who do not need to be raised, they're still alive. But the great white throne is all there is to associate them with both for new bodies and for judgment. And then our final group, our ninth group, Jews and Gentiles, never saved since creation, and not judged at Daniel 12, or not judged in the sheep and goats judgment, they would be subjects for the great white throne judgment, and it would seem that they would form the majority of those in the great white throne judgment. Well, if you have your notes, take a look at this multicolored blue, multi-shaded blue chart. I've revised this a number of times over the last several weeks as I've thought about new relationships. And remember, I've considered this whole study to be somewhat tentative. Maybe by this point I should not consider it tentative and just say we don't have enough information about many of the groups and when they will be raised, judged, and get new bodies. But let's go through the groups in a different way. This is, again, the nine groups. Let's go through them in a different way that might help in our understanding. So first group is Gentiles saved before Pentecost. Here's Abel and Noah and Melchizedek. Big question for them is, are they supposed to enjoy the kingdom? Kingdom is mainly for Israel, but do pre-Israel believers, pre-Abraham believers, get a part in the kingdom? After all, it appears from Scripture that the church, consisting of Jews and Gentiles, will enjoy the kingdom. So I'm a Gentile. It looks from Scripture as if I'll enjoy the kingdom, which is primarily for Israel. Would other Gentiles saved before the church age, would they get to enjoy the kingdom? If they're supposed to enjoy the kingdom, then they'd be raised at the only resurrection point that would work for them. Sheep and goats in Matthew 25 won't work because they've died already. Sheep and goats is gather. He gathers the nations. Those are living people. So the only thing that would work would be Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 as a resurrection point and a judgment point. And if it's not that, they would not be raised for the kingdom and they'd have to wait for the great white throne judgment. Lack of information here. Resurrection scripture, again, would be either Daniel 12 or Revelation 20. But I put question marks here, not enough information. The judgment, again, the same passages. For these individuals, their basis would be election. And with the great white throne judgment, it would be a question of whether their name is in the book of life. The result of judgment would be, if it's Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, they're raised to get new bodies to enjoy the kingdom, or if it's great white throne for them, they go into the eternal state, they'd be judged and receive bodies at their point of judgment. Second group, here's Abraham and his descendants before the cross, before Pentecost. Clearly they would be raised to enjoy the kingdom, and looks very strongly as if Daniel 12 and verse 2 would be the point where Abraham and his descendants up to Pentecost would be raised, judged at the same time. They are the elect, and that would be the basis of their evaluation. They would enjoy the kingdom and apparently receive a new body, again, Daniel 12:2, under the principle that people receive new bodies when they're raised from the dead, except for those that go directly to be with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, as in the rapture of the church, get a new body at the point of resurrection, and then go into the judgment at 2 Corinthians 5, judgment seat of Christ. Third group, Jews and Gentiles that die during the church age. Here we are, and this is clear. The rapture of the church, the snatching away of living believers and the dead in Christ being snatched out of the grave. Text would be 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 John 3, and 1 Corinthians 15 that we read a moment ago. The judgment event would be judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, judged for 2 Corinthians 5 for their service to Christ, not for saving faith or election. It's what have they done for us? It's what have we done? The outcome would be rewards and new body, apparently at that very time, because we're changed to be with Christ according to those passages. A fourth group, Jews and Gentiles saved during the 70th week. They're still alive at the end of the 70th week, at the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They die during the kingdom. Well, where's their resurrection? The only thing left, once again, is that catch-all great white throne judgment. For the Jews, would it be Daniel chapter 12? That won't work because they're alive and they're not brought out of the dust of the earth, and that would work for the only thing that would possibly work would be for the Jews. What about Gentiles saved during the 70th week? The separation of the sheep and goats would work for the Gentiles, but the order here is wrong. That is, if you have Gentiles who are saved during the 70th week, they go into the kingdom, they die during the kingdom, they live through the point of the separation of the sheep and goats, they are part of the nations. That works for the Gentiles, but not for the Jews. And they are judged at that point, but then they die. When do they get resurrected? It has to be the great white throne judgment. And there you got a reversal of the order. They are judged before they are raised. That doesn't make sense. But then if it's the great white throne judgment for both groups, they'd receive their new bodies then. Next group, Gentiles and Jews saved and martyred during the 70th week. This is a pretty clear one. They are brought out of the grave at the first resurrection in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 and 5b. That's before the kingdom. They will enjoy the kingdom. They have been resurrected. When are they judged? Must be at the same time, Revelation 20. Basis for judgment is their election. The result of the judgment, they are rewarded by entering the kingdom. And since they reign with Christ for 1,000 years, Revelation 20 tells us they must have new bodies before the kingdom, so they must get new bodies at the time of resurrection. Then you got the group who are saved but die during the 70th week. They don't live as believers very long, do they? Less than 7 years for all of these, and for many, undoubtedly a shorter time. For the Jews, is it they die during the 70th week? Daniel 12, 2 would work for resurrection for them. But what about for the Gentiles? They could not be subjects of the sheep and goats parable because they have died. They're not part of the nations that would be gathered. So unclear about the Gentiles, no information. For the Jews, at least, they get new bodies at Daniel 12. Our next group is Jews and Gentiles who are saved during the kingdom, then die. All that's left for them for resurrection is a great white throne, and they would enter the eternal state and apparently get new bodies at the great white throne. Our eighth group is Jews and Gentiles saved during the kingdom. They are still alive at the end. The only judgment point left for them, they don't need to be raised, they're still alive. There's a great white throne, and apparently they'd receive new bodies at that point. And then we come to Jews and Gentiles who are never saved. This is the non-elect of all ages. Some of them would have been judged already in the sheep and goats parable. Probably Jews judged at Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 go to everlasting punishment, and they would be subjects of the great white throne judgment for resurrection, or if they're still alive, unsaved, alive at the end of the kingdom, they go right into the great white throne judgment, receiving new bodies for eternal punishment then. A lot of questions, a lot of loose ends. For some reason, God has made resurrection, judgment, reception of new bodies quite clear, particularly for believers, but for many other groups, not enough information. I take it that in the wisdom of God, we do not need to know that unless we have not dug enough into Scripture to find answers that may be still there that we haven't found. But if we think of ourselves as believers during this age, God has given us clear information as to when we will be resurrected. If at the rapture of the church we are in the grave, we know we'll be resurrected and changed at that point to receive new bodies. If we are alive at that point, we skip resurrection, like Enoch and Elijah, and go right to be with the Lord, and instantly changed when we see him. Great truths that the believer has to look forward to as part of the background of the judgments and resurrections of Scripture. Let's give thanks to God for what he has told us and what we can look forward to. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and what it teaches us. Undoubtedly, we have not been careful enough with your texts of Scripture given by your Holy Spirit concerning resurrection and judgment and reception of new bodies. Cause us to be careful students to look further into this. And we give you thanks that at least for believers in this age, we know what will happen to us as the next event in prophecy. If we are in the grave when the Lord Jesus Christ comes for his own, we go directly through resurrection to be with him. Otherwise, we skip that stage and receive new bodies, and at the judgment seat of Christ, receive rewards by grace for the things that we have done in thankfulness for your salvation. We pray these things in Jesus' name.